The words of Chizuk tonight, preparation for Shlichos or Lilay, Refuah Shleima, David Melech Ben Sasha, Chaim Yira Mindel Vaschava Golda, and of course our good friend who's with us on the phone, the original Stola Shlichos Chazim, my brother-in-law Chaim Yisachar Ben Chaim Mushkid. Mirat Hashem, they're all on their way to Refuah Shleima, Karav Mamish.
Amen.
Also, just to be mocked in the proper way, of course, we thank our superb Gabbai Rishon, Mike Sohn, for all of his efforts in being misavid of the room tonight. Of course, we also thank Avinom Tepo Phipps, thank Chazan Reb Dovidel, and Chaim also sent along, there's some CDs on the back table, from Blazer Brody, another great tzaddikim, very worthwhile CDs, and he very much wants to make sure that there's not going to be a single CD left. So please take one, listen to it, enjoy it, and hopefully grow from it. And of course, last but not least, to thank our gracious host, the Friedmans. You know, in our typical insignificant kind of way, we always try to praise the Friedmans, never very successfully. You know, and this year, there's some talk amongst the Chevra, maybe it's time to find a bigger place. I want to make sure everyone's comfortable. And obviously, we can't find a better place spiritually, maybe, than the home of the Friedmans. That's a makom that I think every person in this room has a shaykhus to these walls, to this makom. Whether you've been here or you haven't been here before, it's a place that Baruch Hashem has provided, you know, for this little tzibor, which has really become, you know, a kehila of sorts, which is in itself an amazing thing. The Kaveh Yashar says that every kehila, every base medrash, every base knesses, lamata has a corresponding shorash lamala. Which means on some level, on a more revealed level, on a more nistar level, whatever it means, on some level, every single person in the room tonight is connected on some type of way. And again, if tshuva is all about returning to a sense of self, you know, this is a place that I think many of us, on many levels, call home. So obviously we thank the Friedmans for their continued support of everything that we do. Now, sometimes when people get up to speak, Barabim, so they do the whole, you know, it's almost like institutionalized at this point. You say, I'm not worthy to speak, and, you know, who am I to speak? All right, it's more of a formality, often some fake anava. But I think the minhag of such an idea, and the reason that you find even very worthy speakers, when they get up to speak, they remind the tzibur that they're not worthy, it's a reminder to the speaker that a person has to have a heter to speak Barabim. It's not a pashut that a person gets up and offers words in public. A person needs a heter. So there are heterim. And remember, Kefet's two volumes on the Rav, the biography of and writings and speeches of Rav Soloveitchik. So he talks about the first time Rav Chaim came to Brisk to give a Shabbos Shuvah drasha. And Rav Chaim got up and he said, and I somewhat paraphrase, somewhat read from you from the words of the Rav, he says, I have no right to rebuke my fellow Jews. The only one I can admonish is myself. But if Chaim talks to himself, from Chaim Brisker starting, if Chaim talks to himself, those observing this behavior will consider him of unsound mind. Therefore, I must give my Shabbos Shuvah drasha in public as if I was speaking to other people. So Rav Chaim said. So he said, the message really is directed for me. Right? So it's a good heter, in theory. But I think in the stola, it's not a heter. Because by stola, it's not uncommon for a person to be talking to himself. I think that's the way of the land here. So I have no heter to speak Barabim. Certainly not talk for tochacha. But maybe just some words of chizuk, you know, before we get to the slichos. In general, I think when it comes to tshuva, you have this unique problem of trying to inspire others. Because the essence of tshuva is that it's a very personal type of avodah. It's between a person and a Kadosh Baruch Hu. My chatam or not your chatam, my shortcomings are not your shortcomings. We each have our own unique relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. I was thinking maybe that's the pshat of the Mishnah Pirkei Avos. Al tadinis chavercha tagil mkomo. Don't judge your friend until you reach his place. Maybe makom we know is the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's almost tagil. You can't enter into a judgment. You can't enter into a yom adin. You can't enter into an aspect of slichos. Chana for the yom adin. It's not possible to come to such things unless a person has the same relationship with the makom. But everyone has a different relationship. Okay, Avram, okay, Yitzchak, okay, Yaakov. Each person has their own relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that can make it very challenging. No, but we try our best. At the end of the day, the Kadosh Baruch Hu comes and he gathers in Yidden from wherever they're found. So we try as a tzibur to come together and be mechazik each other. It's not a shir tonight. I'm going to call this a shir. I'm going to call it a drasha. Mordechai Chaim Slonim said in the name of Moshe Kubrin. So the Kavriner said, I should be zochin olam, but to never be rewarded for giving a shir. Right? I just wanted to be remembered as someone who attempted to be mechazik my fellow Jews. Right? So let's not listen as a shir. Let's come together, barabim, to chazer things, barabim, and hopefully can make a roshim. Said last year, the Mor B'Shemesh writes. He says he remembers when he was younger how people's hearts were open to the slichos. People's hearts were open to the yom ne'ram. There was a pacha. It was tangible. You could feel it in the air. And he said as time went on, he saw in later years, people didn't have that same esoros. The Mor B'Shemesh already was writing long ago. You can imagine how much farther away we are from feeling something real, from being able to open up. And even if we're zocha to have esoros, right, there's a chashash that maybe it's not sincere. Who's to say that it's real? Rabbi Yerucham of Mir was seen in Rosh Hashanah walking around the entire day, mumbling something under his breath in his every spare moment he had. And some of the Talmidim listened in to Rabbi Yerucham, the great Mashkiach, to hear what he was saying. And he was reciting over and over and over, Ulai Yimusheni Avi, perhaps my father will feel me. Yaakov said, maybe my father's going to feel me, he's going to see I'm a fake. He's going to see that this whole thing is not real. Right? That all the feelings that we're trying to awaken are not sincere. And maybe the Soros is not coming from a true place. I read a very scary var from Rabbi Yashiv. And Gedolei Hador, the elder Gedolim of the world today, it's a scary word, and put a positive spin on it, but first to hear the words of Rav Yashiv, maybe to get a taste of what the Mor B'Shemesh described once was. Rav Yashiv explains the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Ches. The Gemara says that on Rosh Hashanah everyone comes before HaKadosh Baruch Hu K'bnei Maron. And the Gemara says, what's the pshat? What does that mean, K'bnei Maron? The Gemara has three interpretations. The first explanation is that we come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu like the soldiers of David HaMelech's kingdom. Right? What was the nature of the soldiers of David HaMelech's kingdom? Before they would go out to battle, They would give a bill of divorce to their wife. Out of a chashash, maybe who knows what will happen to me. Maybe I'll never make it home. That's one pshat in B'nai Maron. A second pshat, the Gemara says, B'nai Maron means what? It means people traveling through a large incline, steep cliff, and they have to pass one by one through this narrow strait. Right? It's dangerous. It's nerve-wracking. You don't find that people were giving their wives gittin before they would travel such a cliff. But it was a scary moment. And then lastly, B'nai Maron says the Gemara is possibly, it's a reference to sheep being separated as Meiser. Right? As they pass before the one who's counting every tenth sheep as Meiser. And Rabbi Yashiv said it's talking about three different times in Jewish history. You had the original Dor, you had the original generations, the earlier generations who understood that when it comes to a Zman of Rosh Hashanah, that they have to pass before HaKadosh Baruch Hu K'bnei Maron. So they passed before HaKadosh Baruch Hu like the soldiers of Beis Dovid, who were so worthy, and yet they were still so scared. Right, to the point that they felt, I have no merits, God forbid I'm not going to make it back. And these were people who were very much worthy, people of David's army, because I'll describe who these people were. And then you have a later generation, where it's like people traveling through a mountainous area, where again, it's also scary, it's dangerous, but you approach it, you're confident you can make it through, there's an awareness of the intensity, the seriousness of where you're traveling, but at the same time, there's a confidence you're going to make it through. And then, says Rabbi Yashiv, right, there's the door in which we find ourselves, the Kesed Mashiach. And this is the door where we pass before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, K'vei Maron, like sheep, being taken away, not even realizing that Chas V'Shalom, they could be killed. Right? How many of us realize that we're 5 days away from Rosh Hashanah? I know for myself, I'm not there yet. Not by a long shot. It's a scary word. That we could be like B'nai Maron, we could be like that sheep that's, frolicking through that little fence, not realizing where he's headed. Right? It's a scary word and something to think about. I'll share a second part that's not so uplifting from the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon was once asked, he was asked, how is it possible, how does the Kodesh Baruch fulfill the mission of Pirkei Avos, Ezu Asher Sameach B'Chalko? How do we find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Sameach B'Chelko with his Chelek? And the Vilna Gaon said, you know what, the truth is Hashem's Chelek is very small. Izu Ashir Sameach B'Chelko implies the person has very little and he's happy. And Lamaisa HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very little, says the Vilna Gaon. He has a few tzaddikim. He was a lot of tzaddikim, the Chazal describe in every door, keep the world going. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have much of a chevra. But it's his chelek, and he's satisfied, he's happy, he doesn't complain. Sameach b'chelko. Right? But by default, it doesn't say very much about the rest of us. I think it's most of us not in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chelek. And again, it reminds us of the harsh reality, if you read us the Doros, that the Mor v'Shemesh was describing. But the good news is, Rav Yashav has the second part, and the Groh has the second part. So a second part from Rav Yashav where he describes the Seder of Tshuva. And we know that there's supposed to be a Seder to Tshuva. There's an order, there's a way to approach a Kadosh Baruch Hu in these days. A person needs aziva sachet, a person needs to abandon the averos, a person has to have a sincere charata, a person has to have a Kabbalah ala asir, Kabbalah haba, a commitment to be better in the future. Rav Yashav says, you know, when a person comes to sit down, a person of means sits down to have a meal, so there's a Seder to things. He has the fish, he has the soup, right? He has the main, he has dessert, there's an order to things. When an ani comes knocking on the door and says, can I have something to eat? Right? And you give him a piece of chicken. So he's not going to have the chutzpah to say to you, well, hold on a second, you know, let's start with the fish. We'll get to the soup. You know, we'll get to the chicken. Right? No ani would have the audacity to say such a thing. Says Rav Yashav, we come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kedalim ukarashim defaknuz al asecha. We're like poor people banging on your door. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, listen, we're like the poor people. And then for the poor people, sometimes, you know, they're served out of order, they eat out of order, and it's all out of order. And it's good enough. Right? The ani doesn't complain, and the one who's giving, you know, understands that this is how it has to be. HaKadosh Baruch Hu understands the metzias of the world in which we're living. He understands it's not simple. He understands it's not so pushy for us to say, yeah, we're going to do things in the Seder of Aziva Sachet, and then we're going to come to a Madrega of Charata, and then we're going to come to... It's not the metzias by us. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is okay with that. And the Vilna Gaon also has the second part. A different pshat that I saw in the Kina Mishulchan Agra, also on the same question. Eizu Asher Sameach B'Chelko. Right, again, the first verse, a little scary. Hashem is his chelek, and that's it. Most of Klal Yisrael is not Hashem's chelek. But the Groh has a second pshat. The Groh has a second pshat, and he says, what does it mean? He quotes the pasuk, Ki chelek Hashem amo, right? Yaakov chelel nachal asam. The chelek of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yaakov, the Am. Right? Chelek Hashem amo. The chelek of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Am, the entire Am. It's not just for Yechidei school, it's not just for exceptional individuals who have the ability to be close to Hashem, but it's a reminder that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mesameach with every bit of his chelek. Whether it's a lot or it's a little, like Rav Yashav is saying. Whether we're able to offer our tshuva in the right way, or whether we throw it out at him and say, you know, Hashem, what do you want? We're anew. We don't operate within the Seder of the natural things. Right? So which Groh is right? Lamaisa, which is the Iker, you know, Vart from the Groh. So I think the answer is that it depends if you approach it from the Chitonius or the Pnimius. On a Chitonius level, the first Groh is right. Lamaisa, we make a lot of mistakes, and Klal Yisrael is not always so good to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Not only are we not good to, we're not even fair, we're not even reasonable. Right? But with Pnimius, like we said every year, and we're going to essentially have the same shiur we've had the last year, so anyone who was here, just with maybe some new ideas. Right? But Pnimius, Klal Yisrael is pure. But Pnimius, Ki Chelek Hashem Amo, every bit of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's Am is Shayach to the Chelek Hashem Amo. It's connected to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's close to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kitzur Shulchan Aruch brings down that this is a time of year where people check their mezuzahs and tefillin. Right? Anshei Maisa go out and they check their mezuzah and their tefillin. What's up, pshat? Check your mezuzahs, check your tefillin. What's up, pshat? Go out, check your mezuzahs, check your tefillin. This is man to physically actually check your tefillin. But again, on a more pnimius level, what does it mean to check your tefillin? It means to ask yourself, when you put on your tefillin, those of us who put on tefillin, when you put on your tefillin every day, right? What does it mean to bind yourself to the parshas? Am I committed to those parshas? To check my tefillin. To check the way I put on tefillin. To check my connection to the tefillin. And many of us, I'm sure, say the tefillah before we put on our tefillin, which we say the strangest thing, such a strange phrase that we mention in the tefillah that we say before putting on the tefillah. We say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, make it that the Yetzirah doesn't bother us so much, so that what? Ve'anichenu la'avodas Hashem ka'asharim levaveinu. So I can serve Hashem as I see fit in my heart. What kind of crazy thing is that to say? I'm going to serve Hashem as I see fit in my heart? Rav Moshe Feinstein asked in the very back of the Darash Moshe, why don't we say, I want to serve you Hashem as HaKadosh Baruch Hu desires. Serve Hashem as I see fit? Well, if I see, you know, I see it fit to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu by eating pork, so, kasher l'aveinu, however I'm feeling, that should be good enough for your HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's the pshat? So Moshe gives two answers to this question, and the second answer, he quotes the very famous Rambam of Kofanos Ha'at Shiyom HaRotzani, We beat him up until we bring out that pintaliyah. The guy refuses to give his wife a get. You beat it out of him. Because the etzim, the pnimius, he wants to give that get. And says Rav Moshe, that's the pshat. We put on our tefillin, we say, if the Yitzhar would just leave me alone for a few minutes, I'd be able to serve you, not as you want, as I want, kasher l'aveinu, as every single one of us wants in our heart of hearts. And this Rav Gifter uses to explain something we've been saying throughout the month of El. Right, in the Ladavid, we also have a very funny line. Right, we say, Lecha amar libi bakshu panai. Lecha amar libi, my heart is speaking, and it says what? Bakshu panai. Right, connect to me. Shouldn't the heart be saying, Gifter writes, shouldn't the heart say, connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu? Why is the heart saying, bakshu panai, seek me out, right, get in touch with me? And Rav Gifter says, because it's one and the same. The heart of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, is the heart of the Liban Shal Yisrael. Quotes a Medrash Shir Hashirim that says so explicitly, the heart of a Jew is our connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Ki chelak Hashem amo, right? That chelak inside of us is an automatic connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu. But the problem is we let it get covered up. And we let it get beaten and broken and crushed and buried. Right? That's what Rav Moshe is saying. Kasher l'maveinu. We have to get back to that point of kasher l'maveinu. Chassid the Belzer Rebbe, he was once sick, he went to the doctor. And the Rebbe came back afterwards, and the Rebbe said, "Nu, what does the doctor say?" It was a non-Jewish doctor. He says, "The doctor tells me my heart's not so well." So the Belzer Rebbe got very upset. He says, "What does a non-Jewish doctor know about a Jewish heart? What does a non-Jewish doctor know about a Jewish heart? You know, what is the Yetzer Hara? Right? The non-Jewish doctor, he's a melech, he's a zakin, he's a ksil, he's very wise, an aged individual, the Yetzer Hara. What does the Yetzer Hara know about a Jewish heart? What right does he have to be sholed on a Jewish heart, to come in whenever he wants and do what he wants, how he wants, when he wants? Right? This is the avodah of the slichus. To get back to that place, that inner place of serving Kadosh Baruch Hu, be'etzem, right? Be'pnimis, kasher levaveinu. And that's really the metzias of who we are. But be'etzem, that's who Klai Yisrael are. When Adam Rishon sinned long ago, and he ate from the tree, and you read the pasuk, and Adam says, right, I ate, and the Medrash interprets it, I ate, and I will continue to eat. Vayuchal, right, I ate, and if I had an opportunity, I'd eat again. Chutzpah. Kadosh Baruch Hu calls him out, and then says, Adam, you know, you violated the one thing I asked of you. And he says, yeah, no, I ate, but I would eat again. What's it? What? Chutzpah, how can you say such a thing? I saw that Adam Gadol from Bnei Brak, he writes, he says there's really two reasons why Adam could have eaten from the tree. He could have eaten from the tree because it's an act of rebellion against the Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's his way of saying to the Kadosh Baruch Hu, I don't care about you, I'm not interested in you, I don't have anything to do with you. Or it was that he ate out of a taiva. So by saying I ate and I would do it again, he's saying, Rabbono Shel Olam, I can't control myself, I have a taiva here. You don't think I want to serve you? You don't think I want to listen to your command? I ate and it would happen again. The Yetzer Hara is that strong. It would happen again if I was put to the test. So we beg the Kadosh Baruch Hu, don't put us to that test. Help us get in touch with Kasher Mlaveinu. Chedush Erim one time, he saw a guy sitting down, this Jewish guy sitting down with this nice big, you know, ham and cheese sandwich. And he walks by, and you know, the guy catches the Rebbe's eye. The Rebbe catches his eye, and he sees he's like, you know, about to, clearly a non-kosher sandwich. And the Chedush Erim says to him, B'tayavon. He says, Rebbe, if you knew, you know, maybe look a little closer to what I'm eating here, you wouldn't be saying b'tayavon. He says, 100% I'm saying b'tayavon. He says, if a person eats with a taiva, so it's less serious than if a person eats as an act of rebellion against the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So enjoy it. Enjoy the sandwich. Right? That's not who you are. Right? You don't tell me you're giving it to a taiva. You're eating this treif sandwich because you can't control your taiva. That's not the Marishon. Right? A person sometimes gives into a taiva. But be'etzem, you know, the days of the Yom Noram is the time we come back to who we are. We come back to a place where we know we're supposed to be. And this is really the tragedy of chet. Think about why chet is so sad and so pathetic. It's because it's not who we are. It's giving into something that's not, you know, be'etzem who we are. Right? To come back to the kol d'mamadaka, that inner voice, right? That kasher levaveinu, that calling to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? That's really who we are. That's what we're supposed to be. They put out the writings of the Klausenberger Rebbe on Chumash Rashi. Klausenberger Rebbe used to give a shira Chumash Rashi. And they published some of the years of his shiurim. So I saw in there a ma'aseh of two tzaddikim who were discussing and were arguing over a certain nekuda. And one of the tzaddikim wrote to the other one in a very confrontational fashion. He wrote him a list of 70 hayadatas. Right, what does that mean? Klausenberger Rebbe explains. He wrote to him, he says, hayadata lisvoras ha'usios v'shas pavli. He wrote to this other tzaddik, who do you think you are to argue on me? You think you're half the Talmud Chacham I am? Do you know how to count up every letter in Shas Bavli? 2,711 pages of Shas. Can you make a cheshvan on every letter? Is that what you're holding? And he said to him again, Hayadata, do you know, are you having accounting for every letter of Chumash Rashi? Are you holding in Sifra, Sifrei, Medrash Tamchuma, Medrash Rabbah, are you holding in these things? Do you have it with clarity? Maisa Merkava? Who are you to argue on me? The son of the tzaddik wrote back to him, he says, listen, I'm not ashamed to admit, I don't know many of the Hayadatas that you presented in your letter to me, these 70 Hayadatas. He says, but there's one Hayadata that I know. There's one that I could say with 100% confidence that I know very well. V'yadata hayom v'shevos alavavecha, ki Hashem hu alokim v'shamayim ma'av v'arz v'tachas einor. He says, that's one Hayadata that I know very well. And he said, it's exactly that Hayadata that I'm concerned that you don't know at all. Right? Hayadata. You can know Shas Bavli, Yerushalmi, Medrash, Inside Out. You can know all these things in the world. You can know them cold, from cover to cover. You can have a cheshbon on every single letter. And we should. We should make a cheshbon on every single letter. We should be holding in every bit of the bria. There's so much chachma to learn from the bria. Chazon Ish said you could spend your whole life staring at a flower. There's enough chachma selokus in a flower if a person wanted to make an asik out of that. Right? And Chazon Ish didn't spend his whole life staring at flowers, obviously. I think we all are aware of that. Right? But there's enough there. There's so much to see in the world. There's so much to learn in the world. Right? But if you're missing that basic level of hayadata, right? That basic awareness of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, so then all this, you know, all the other 70 Hayadatas, which can be very meaningful and very worthwhile, right, they're all out the window. They're all essentially worthless. Remember by Joey Rosenfeld's engagement party, so he said over a vart from Rav Huttner, the Pachad Yitzchak and Sukkis, right, explaining, Rav Huttner's explaining what the idea of an engagement ring is. Right, Rav Huttner basically went on to explain that there are many things, many elements in the Bria that we have the ability to elevate. Right? We can eat animals and bring a tikkun to them. We can eat plants and bring a tikkun to them. What are we going to do with dirt and rocks? How do we bring a tikkun to them? Rav Huttner has a whole richus explaining that's maybe the secret of the engagement ring. Beautiful idea. But I remember thinking at the time of a very scary vart that by extension comes out from that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu curses the Nachash. He puts him into... He is the ultimate example of Klala, the Nachash. Right? Nachash B'Gamashri Mashiach. The thing that's holding us away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu all these years. And the Nachash is cursed that he's going to eat dirt. He's going to eat dirt, he's going to eat rocks. Right, what's the Pshat? I think the Pshat is, right, the Nachash was given the ability to metake in the dirt, to eat the dirt, to bring a tikkun to the dirt. A person can be mild and eat tzotzos, he can lift up the holy sparks of food, of animals, of plants. Right, there's a way to do that. The dirt, how do you elevate the dirt? We can't eat the dirt. Right, the Nachash was given the ability, you know what, Nachash, go ahead, eat the dirt. Bring the biggest tikkunim in the world, enjoy all the dirt in the world, eat the rocks. But you know what? What's the curse? The curse is that you lost your relationship with me. So you could be the biggest nachash in the world, right? You could be the nachash agadol, like Paro is called. You could be a big chacham, right? Paro also knew a lot of languages. He could answer a lot of hayadatas. He was a very intellectually wise individual, right? You could be bringing tikkunim to eating dirt, to elevating rocks, to elevating the mitzvot hakadoshes in a way that the average guy or even the greatest tzaddikim can't do. And yet you're still nothing. You're living a life of klala. That's the curse of the nachash. Right, your whole life could become one big curse if we lose sight Chas v'shalom of the Hayadata. I think maybe that's what Rav Yerucham of Mir was saying when he was walking around saying, Ulai Yimusheni Avi. Right, maybe my father's going to catch me as a faker. It's Tafka Avi. Right, it's Tafka, the aspect of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Avinu Shema Shemayim that's going to catch us as a faker. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come to Shemayim and will say, Hashem, look, I learned all of this and I did this and I did that. And Hashem says, yeah, but where is the, you know, Avinu Malkeinu? It's a lot more about Malkeinu than it was about Avinu. And where's the love? Where's the connection? Where's the warmth and the closeness that I envisioned that we would one day have? Ulai Yimusheni Avi, lest my father find me to be a faker. Well-known Rambam at the end of Hilchos Yisurei Bia, where the Rambam describes a person, right, being able to fill his heart and his mind with the right things. Rambam says, Gedol Michal Zos Amru, Yifana Atzo Machshavos L'Divrei Torah V'Yarchiv Daito B'Chachma. A person should fill his mind with good things. She'ein machshavas arayos miskaveres ela b'leiv panoi min hachachma. Because thoughts of arayos, immoral thoughts, inappropriate thoughts, allowing our mind to wander, the Gemara uses arayos as a code word for the Gemara when it first arises, calls it aveira, stam aveira. Right? It's the idea of aveira in general. Our mind becomes involved in aveiros when what? When it's not filled with chachma. But let's read the Rambam carefully. Rambam says with what? That ein machshavas arayos miskaveres ela b'leiv panoi min hachachma. So I saw the Toldos Aharon Rebbe asks in his Mechtavim, he said, I don't understand, what do you mean lev? A lev full of chachma? Why not a brain full of chachma? Why not a moach full of chachma? Right? An intellect full of chachma? trying to leave for the Chachma. The Admor of Tolas Aaron said, he said, because that's the way to be successful. It's dafka, a person who has a heart that's full of Chachma. If your mind is full of Chachma, there's no guarantee that a person can be able to conquer Hirurei Avera. Again, not just Arayos, any thoughts of Avera. Right? But if a person has wisdom, not only in his mind, but in his heart as well, Kasher Luvavenu, if we serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bepnimius, Be'etzem, right? Like Ramosha Feinstein is saying, we put on our tefillin, we serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu from the depths of our heart, so that we can be certain that we're not going to give in to every desire. If you look in the Mishnah and all of us, in the first parak, so it describes the 248 limbs that every single one of us has. But the list is so chaser, it's so lacking. So some of the most basic parts of our body are not found on the list. Where's the heart? The Vilna Gaon was asked, where's the heart on this list? Right? Some of the most critical organs for man's survival are not on the 248 limbs of man. Where are those missing limbs? So the Vilna Gaon said it's a dhamma, it's a prerequisite. Right? It's a derech eretz, kavna l'torah type of thing. The heart represents the midos that a person has to have in order to even come to the limbs which correspond to the 248 mitzvahs. I think you could say even more basic, right? The heart represents this relationship, the Anokhi Hashem Elokecha, like we spoke about last year, just having the relationship. The vital organs are the relationship. I don't need to put it on a list and show how it corresponds to a specific mitzvah, to a prop, to a detail of Avodas Hashem. Because that's everything in Avodas Hashem. Layim Usheni Avi, Chas V'Shalom, the Father will, our Father in Heaven will feel us, and he'll see that we're faking it. Chazal tell us, the Gemara Brachos, that the world is divided. Right? The night is divided into three sections. And if a person finds himself in a dark room and he's not sure where he's holding in the night, as the nighttime guards in Shemayim are changing, so the Gemara gives techniques to recognize what's happening at each point of the night. Right? Stavka for a person who's in a dark room. And the Gemara describes that when you're entering that third stage, right, the avodah of that third stage of the night is when a isha is misaparis in bala. When a wife speaks to her husband, and I was thinking, you know, we have the Gemara also in Sechas of Odezar, where it describes that the world is also divided into three stages. 2,000 years, 2,000 years, 2,000 years. We're in the final 2,000 years of the Amos HaMashiach. And we're holding by the end of days. So what's the avoda? What is the Gemara in Brachos telling us? What's the avoda in that final third of the night? Like the Gemara Babetzia says, Olo Azez, Domo Lelaila. The avoda is Isha, Misa, Paris, and Baal. The Knesset Yisrael, the Klal Yisrael, the Isha, should speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We should converse with our husband. I joked earlier, right, about people walking around talking to themselves in stolo. Right? But it's kvaldik. Halavai, there should be yidin who believe that they actually talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he's listening. And it doesn't have to be dafka when I'm in tefillah. Hayadata, that a person can talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu whenever he wants? Are we holding by that hayadata? Right? Hayadata, that tefillah can be a meaningful experience and it doesn't have to be something that's burdensome and rote? Right? These are the hayadatas we have to ask ourselves. The avoda and Isha Misaparis and Bala. The avoda of the Ikhus and the Mashiach of the final days. And come to the point where it's time to make these changes. Right? I think in a very real way. I think a lot of people have had enough. But it's time to make these types of changes in our life, to bring a Kadosh Baruch Hu back into the picture. To talk about a Kadosh Baruch Hu, to be comfortable with the language of Elokus. To talk about Hashem, to make Him real, to make Him Metzias. Today was the 25th of El, first day of creation. And we know man's not created until Rosh Hashanah, but today was day one. It's a fascinating medrash that Rav Yonasan Eibshitz brings down to this Tiferes Yohanan, son of Parshas Bereishis. He says, the medrash says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Adam when he sins, Adam, yesterday you were with me, and today you're with the Nachash. I'm so disappointed. So Rav Yonasan Eibshitz says, well, yesterday? What do you mean yesterday? Chazal tells us, Adam was created and he sinned the very same day. So what does it mean, yesterday you were with me and now you've abandoned me? This is an unbelievable pshat. He says, what does yesterday mean? Yonasan Aisha says the neshama was created on the 25th of El. The Yipachlav of Nishmas Chaim was blown into man. Yeah, maybe that's on Rosh Hashanah. The shofar, the tekiah shofar, the blowing in of the neshama, and man the nafach mitochei nafach, the breathing in of the spirit of man. But the neshama was created on the Chafei El. Right, today was the day. This past Shabbos, today was the day when our neshama was created. Right, another Marishan, you let me down. You sinned. You gave into a taiva, and you undermined our entire relationship. Right, how chava, how sad. Your seats, guys, don't worry, squeeze in the back. You undermine the whole relationship. And that's what it means. He says, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Adam, right, Ayeka, where are you? Rav Yonasan Eibshitz says, Ayeka is a chafei. What happened to the chafei? What happened to the relationship? I gave you a neshama tahora. I wanted to be close to you. I created the neshama so we could relate. It's a piece of me I've given over to you. V'chelek Hashem Amon. And what did you do with it? What did you trade it for? For nothing. Avram's told, Ko yezaracha, be children of Chafei. Remember what it means to have a neshama. Remember what it means to have a neshama that's connected to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's time to strip away all of this chitzonius and get back to kasher m'levaveinu. To push it to basic things. The things that Yidden always lived by. The story of the Bava Rebbe. One Motzei Shabbos, the Bava Rebbe decided to get up and he said, today I got a big matana. Everyone wanted to know what was he talking about. He describes as during the war, at various points I disguised myself as a Gentile in order to save lives. I went around and I was doing whatever I could to help people. And at one point there was a rendezvous with this Hungarian coal truck driver. And I had Jews and we were hiding them in the bottom of his truck. He says, when his mom is such a little amount of room, the Bava Rebbe describes it like, you know, sliding matzahs into the hot oven. I had to slide the Jews in there and hopefully get them across the border. So at one point he was disguised, he was wearing the lavush of a Nazi soldier. He was dressed in the begodim that a Jew would, you know, never obviously want to be found in. And he's waiting at this restaurant to meet this Polish peasant who's going to help him to travel, this whole complicated plan to save lives. And he looks up at one point as he's sitting in this restaurant place where he's supposed to meet this Polish fellow, and he sees this kid dressed as a peasant farmer. He looks at him, and he looks back at the Rebbe, they look back and forth at each other, and the Rebbe recognizes him. It's one of the boys, Meir, who had learned in his yeshiva before the war. Meir comes over and they look around, they embrace, and he says, Meir, he says, look at you. You're dressed as some peasant farm boy. He says, Rebbe, look at you. And you're just as a Nazi soldier. So he says, Meir, he says, promise me one thing. He says, Meir, you're a Jew. You're a Yid. He says, your parents worked so hard that they instill within you what it means to be a Jew. The Rebbe said, I'm telling you, the war's almost over. There's going to come a time where you're going to have an opportunity to change out of these peasants' clothing back into your begadim of a Yid. Right? Promise me that you'll never forget that you're a Jew. And he says, Rebbe, you know, it's hard. He says, promise you'll never forget that you're a Jew. He says, okay, Rebbe, I promise you. So that Motzei Shabbos, the Bava Rebbe got up and he said to the tzibur, he said, today I got a great matana. He says, this fellow came to me, long white beard, and he says to me, Rebbe, I remembered the promise. And I remembered the promise. He says, I have kids, I have grandkids. He says, I changed back out of that peasant clothing back into the levush of the Yisrael. And I think that's the whole avodah of what this night's about. Right, what the whole Yom Noram are about. Days where we strip away that Amalek uniform that sometimes we put on, whether it's by choice, whether it's by force, whether it's with the Yitzhar or something that we choose on our own. And we take off the begadim of the Aniyim, like Chazal say, Ein Ani Ela Ani Badas. Right? We stop being such peasants in our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and we start to rebuild. We start to go a little more pnimi, Kasher Levaveinu. Now, it's the Alchana, which obviously leads us to Yom Kippur. Oh, the relationship between Purim and Yom Kippur. This past Purim, I'm driving around delivering Shalach Manos. My daughter Gabriella decides she wants to bring Shalach Manos to her Mora. It's very nice. So our family's in the car, we're driving around. My wife and Gabriella jump out to run in. And I'm sitting in the car with Zahava. This is already late in the day on Purim. And Zahava starts crying. She's crying. Daddy, Daddy, I want to go inside. I want to go inside. And I'm sitting there and it's Purim. You know, late in the afternoon. She said, Tati, I want to go inside. I said, Gabriel, they'll be back out soon. No, I want to go inside. Trying to think to myself, you know. Do I want to go inside? Right? A Purim, or Yom Kippurim, or any day of the calendar year, do I want to go inside? Do I have a longing to be a pnimi? To be a person who, again, who takes off that outer garb of the Amaliki, right? That outer garb of the peasant farmer, and decides to be close to Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's Hashem, that's the avoda tonight. Just to be Messiah, when people ask me every year, and they hear about the Stolas Lichos, which again, Baruch Hashem has grown, if we just look around, see where that we have tonight. People always ask me, you know, so you sing by Slichos? That's kind of interesting. So at this point, you know, 3 years now, it's a chazaka of questioning. You start to wonder if it's just a question, l'shem question. But it's a shaila, and there's discussion worth speaking about for a moment. And you could give more radical answers saw the Spinker Rebbe from Bnei Brak bring from the Baal Shem Tov, a famous idea. Baal Shem Tov said to Kadosh Baruch Hu, Rabbi Shalom, if we didn't sin, you'd never have the sweet Nagunim of the Ashamnu, the Bagadnu, that you enjoy, that gives you such a Nachas Ruach at Shemayim. And the Rebbe of Peshitzchah took it one step further. He said, that's Pshat when we say in Shemot Esrei, that Kadosh Baruch Hu is Harotze B'tshuva. Not just Hamisratze B'tshuva. Not just B'di'evet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to forgive us if we sin. Harotze B'tshuva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Dafka wants us to sin so that we can Dafka do tshuva and give Him an Achas Ruach. We could say more extreme varlach like that. We don't have to look necessarily in the Sefer Chassidus. We saw that Elena L'Shabeach brings down that this question was posed to the son of the Chassam Sofer. Right? Why is there an Indian to be in a state of Simcha? Right? Mitoch tshuva. So he said, what do you mean? It's not even a shayla. He says, Vidui is a mitzvah d'araisa. It's an opportunity to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And like every other mitzvah, when we serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu, it has to be done with simcha. It has to be done with Islavas. It has to be done with tremendous passion. Rav Chassid Levinstein wrote a letter to a bachar in the month of Av, and he writes in the letter, I saw the letter, he writes in this letter, he says, I want you to know, as Av is coming to an end, we enter the month of Elul, and we prepare ourselves for the Yom Noram. These are Yomim Musharim. These are joyous days. These are happy days. These are very happy and joyous days. Right? And we don't have to, obviously, Weinberger's whole sefer just came out, Rav Kook, his whole approach to tshuva, that it should be besimcha, that it shouldn't be something that we want to run from, something we should enjoy and take advantage of. The Das HaKeinim even writes by the Inuyim. Sorry, not the Das HaKeinim, I apologize. The Targum Yonasan writes by the Inuyim of Yom Kippur. In the Targum Yonasan on the Pasuk in Amor, in describing Yom Kippur, he describes it, Va'avdin zimdin ma'odeichen b'chedva. These are joyous days. As we're fasting, as we're confronting ourselves, these are joyous days? And the answer is yes, these are joyous days. It's supposed to be done b'simcha. So the Sefer Chai Olam Nata brings from an Adam Gadol who got up every year before Tekiah Shofar to give a clap on the bima. And he would say, he would cite the pasuk in Bamidbar, Ki eish yatza mechezbon. Right? When we do a chezbon, a nefesh has to be with an eish. Has to be with a fire. It's not a sad time. It's a challenging time. It's a serious time. But it's not at all a sad time. It's supposed to be done with the simcha. By Ger, they used to sing Mamish, very joyous negunim throughout the Yom Noram. And the Beis Yisrael had a very warm relationship with Rabbi Yecheskel Abramsky. The two of them were very close. And Rabbi Yecheskel Abramsky one time said to the Beis Yisrael, he said in a very challenging fashion, he challenged him very directly and said, I don't get it. I don't understand singing my joyous tunes. This is the Yom Noram, it's a pachad. It's nowhere no run. How do you sing such happy tunes? So the Beis Yisrael responded to Rabbi Yecheskel Abramsky. Again, they were very close. Rabbi Yecheskel Abramsky once sent him a letter and he wrote his own name in, right, that he should daven for him. He had tremendous respect for the Beis Yisrael of Ger. So the Ger Rebbe said, when Yaakov Avinu wanted to be the Megala the Ketz to his children, he wanted, Bikesh Yaakov Liglos as a Ketz, he wanted to reveal the end of days to his children, and all of a sudden he forgot, he blanked out. The Shechina departed. So he says, what's the Pshat? So he quoted from the father of Simcha Bunim Prashischa. He said the Pshat was that Yaakov looked into the future, and he saw the Yidden at the end of times, and he saw how broken they would be, and how hard it would be, and he was so saddened for them, that what happened? He lost his state of Simcha. The Shechina is only shor mitoch Simcha. So the Beis Yisrael said to Rabbi Yecheskel Abramsky, and I read you his words, he said, below Simcha gam b'chios v'zakos lo yu'ilu l'ashras ha-Shechina. Without Simcha you can cry, and you can scream, but if there's no Simcha, there's not going to be a Shechina. Shechina is not going to be found in the building. So we should cry, we should scream, right? But there should be with the Simcha. There's a reason that we've taken upon ourselves this type of avodah, to be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this way. I come to a final point, because if Rabbi Yecheskel Abramsky is going to be mekabel from the words of the Beis Yisrael, it goes both ways. We have to mekabel a different var from Rabbi Yecheskel Abramsky. Rabbi Yecheskel Abramsky is brought down in one of his farim, Pnine Rabbeinu Yecheskel, that whenever he would go to give a shir, he would think the entire time, I'm going to give this shir, I have kavanah that I'm giving this shir in order to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the mitzvah of teaching Torah. And he says, it's recorded in that sefer, and again I just read you very briefly his words, Ulefamim kavanazu hi yoser kasha mikol amiras hashir. You know what the hardest part of the shir is, he said? Is having that kavanah. That I'm doing this for the sake of HaKadosh Baruch. And I think that's something that we need to keep in mind tonight as we're about to begin the slichos. Baruch Hashem, there's a lot of excitement, a lot of isoris, dafka for the stole of slichos. So one of the chevra by a wedding this week. And he said, you know what the chiddush of stole of slichos is? People want to be there. Right? No one's here because they feel slichos. There's no one schlepping through it. We're here, we're excited, we're energized, we're looking forward to the opportunity to cleanse ourselves. Right? It's not a complaint that it's late and it's a long Shabbos. We're here because we want to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But at the same time, we have to remind ourselves, like Rabbi Ches Lubavsky said, the kavanah of this year, right, the ikar kavanah is that I'm doing this because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to do this. And we say throughout the Yom Noram, Lamantah, everything should be for HaKadosh Baruch Hu and not for our own pleasure. So as we're about to say the slichos, to just remember this kavanah, like Rabbi Chasman used to say, you know, we're not saying slichos, we're asking slichos. We're asking for forgiveness. It's not a guarantee here. Right? It's not to be taken for granted. We beg and ask of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything that we've done. We'll show you how passionate we can be in Avodas Hashem. We're not going to serve you with the kriyos anymore. We're not going to use that passion in the wrong way to Chas Hashem do Averos. We're going to come before you, we're going to serve you the Shem Shemayim. I conclude with the mashal from the Dumna Magid. The Dumna Magid told the mashal of a family had a terrible fire in their home. The home was burnt to the ground. And the father had no choice but to set out on the road from this little village where his home was destroyed to the big city to collect money for his family. And he had four children, and they were each standing at the ruins of where their home once was, crying. The youngest child was crying, and the father came over and he said, you know, my son, why are you crying? He says, Tati, my Legos, my blocks, all my toys, they're lost, they're ruined. So, you know, I pats him on the cheek, and he moves on to the next child who's also crying to offer some words of nechama. And he turns to the second child who just turned the bar mitzvah, and he says to him, you know, tell me, why are you crying? He says, oh, Tati, you know, it's so hard, it's so difficult. He says, I just turned bar mitzvah, I was given all these beautiful svarim, and everything was lost in the fire. So he says, I understand, it's hard, and that's very hard for you. And he goes to his third son, who's a little bit older, and in his late teens. He says to his son, he says, tell me, you know, why are you crying? He says, Tati, I'm crying because, you know, you're leaving. You're heading out to the big city. Who knows when I'm going to see you again? You'll be out there for years maybe collecting money that we can be able to rebuild. It's going to be impossible without you here. Mommy and I and the kids, you know, we're all alone. And he goes on to the fourth son, his Bechor. And he says to his Bechor, he says, why are you crying? He says, I'm crying because I know that wherever you're going to be for the next 2 years or 3 years or 4 years, I know that there's not going to be a single night that you go to sleep without crying over the fact, right, that we're all alone. I think that's really the ikar of Avoda. Yeah, we're crying out also. We've lost a lot. We're hurting a lot. Right, but the ikar is lamancha, for Kadosh Baruch Hu. We should cry out to Kadosh Baruch Hu. We should be besimcha with Kadosh Baruch Hu. We should call Kadosh Baruch Hu's presence back into the building. Because we know how much it's hurting Kadosh Baruch Hu. Right, to look at his children, to look at his spouse, and to see us left alone. So Mirtz Hashem, Kadosh Baruch Hu should accept our tefillos. Tefillos should be ol lamala. And Mirtz Hashem, the outpouring of our hearts, should make our roshim and shemayim to break through the mechitzos shel barzel. Mirtz Hashem will all be zochet to exil of chesimotam. Thank you.